It's time to hear from the voice of the Brewers.
Fly ball to deep right. It is back. Soto back. Out of here!
Jeff Levering is brought to you by the Neurospine Center of Wisconsin. Go where the pros go to fix all your back pain. Visit them today at neurospine.com.
Appreciate a little Huey Lewis in the news to bring me in today. Love that.
Thank you. And I love Huey Lewis in the news, so I'm all about it.
Jeff Levering on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I mean, I'm excited to talk to him because he's our guy. He's Jeff Levering. But it's also sad to talk with our guy, Jeff Levering, as this is going to be the last time. This means baseball season is over. We've had the opportunity to sit on it since Friday, but it's still sad to talk about the end of the 2025 Brewers season. Good morning, Jeff. Thank you for jumping on with us.
Yeah, you got it, guys. It doesn't mean you have to stop talking to me. We don't have to talk Milwaukee Brewers baseball every single time.
Sure.
I'm still available. I'm not going anywhere. The season may be over, but I'm here.
All right.
It's
we would love to have you. If you want to jump on every Tuesday, just say less. Well, we'd love to have you.
We'll see about every Tuesday, but anytime you guys
we'll
want me,
in.
Just give me a call. You know where to find me.
We'll mix it in. I guess just your overall just thoughts on what 2025 became, because we go from, as the baseball season does, win projections in the low 80s, end up with 97 wins, which is a franchise record, win a playoff series for the first time since 2018 in very dramatic fashion. Your overall thoughts on the 2025 Milwaukee Brewers?
I thought it was a great season, right? And I think fans would tell you it was a great season as well. There were a lot of great things that happened. There were a lot of players that you didn't really know about that came to the forefront and that could be cornerstone players in this organization for a long time. I think when people look back at this 2025 season, they're not going to look at it as a failure. They're going to think of it as a great season. It was a wonderful season. Yes, did they fall short? Absolutely, they fell short. I mean, you ran into a buzzsaw. The Dodgers were unbelievable. They pitched the ball exceptionally well in that National League Championship Series. Yes, the Brewers have opportunities, sure. And if you would have told me that the Brewers were going to allow a grand total of 15 runs in four games, you'd feel pretty good about it, the way that offense was running towards the end of the season and really all season long. But at the end of the day, the Dodgers pitching staff was outstanding. Give them credit where credit is due. But this Brewers season was a phenomenal one. It was a lot of fun. There was lots of highs and lows, as it goes with every single season. But I think everybody's going to remember 2025 as being a very, very good season.
Jeff, how much different will this team look next year? I'm not sure who's free agent, or, I mean, there's Peralta talk, whether they're going to move him. How much different do you think this team will look next year?
I think it's going to look very similar, Chewy, to be honest with you. There's a handful of free agents. I'd be willing to bet that Rhys Hoskins has probably played his last game as a Milwaukee Brewer. You have an option on Jose Quintana. Do you bring him back or not? We'll see. I think the starting pitching staff is going to be very deep next year, which is great. The Freddie Peralta talk, it's $8 million for next year on an option. I think the Brewers should entertain it. I think it should be the easiest decision that is made in the offseason to bring him back. But you never know. The Brewers have always been a team that will listen, just in case, right? So I think for the Brewers, bringing Freddie Peralta back is item number one to check the box, right? But I think the team's going to look very similar. The position player group is virtually going to be unchanged. You have Andrew Vaughn, who's under contract for a long time. You still have William Contreras under contract for a couple of more years. The position player group is in really good shape.
Do you try to lock some of these young guys up to long-term deals like they did with Churio?
I think it's a conversation. Absolutely. I think you have they've already started conversations, or at least tried to have conversations, with Bryce Terang. You try and do that with Sal Frelick, of course. Mm-hmm. You try and lock up some of these young guys the best you can. And try and be shrewd about it too, because that's what you have to do in this market. You have to try and get those Jackson Chourios, gamble on them, in essence. And then he's become one of the young bright stars in the game. And when that contract ends, it's going to end up looking like a steal for the Brewers organization. Even the Freddie Peralta deal in 2020, at $17 million for 5 years plus an option. That's a really good deal for the Brewers. Those are the ones they have to make, and I'm sure those conversations are ongoing.
I think some of the exciting stuff for me about the postseason, seeing young guys step up. I mean, we've known what Jackson Chourio can do in the postseason. He continued that great reputation. Jacob Mizorowski stepping up and really performing in the postseason. But maybe the most surprising was Chad Patrick in the way he was able to pitch out of the bullpen. What do you do with Chad next year? Do you put him back in the rotation because he was the guy early in the season that helped while there were injuries, and then he would be the guy when they needed somebody, they'd shut him up and down from AAA? Do you keep him in the bullpen? Do you try to make him a part of the rotation? Because after the way he pitched this postseason, you know he's going to have a shot at being a significant part of the roster next season.
Yeah, I think he's a rotation piece next year. I really do. I think that he has shown his versatility, has shown how good he can be in a rotation too, an ERA in the threes this year. Granted, he didn't have a lot of wins, but the Brewers didn't score a lot of runs for him. And wins are an arbitrary stat these days anyway. I think Chad has an opportunity to win a job in the rotation next year. I think Tobias Myers has an opportunity to come back and win a job in the starting rotation next year. But you know what those guys can do in the bullpen. We've seen this before, and I'll throw out Burns, Peralta, Woodruff. They all were starting pitchers, went into the bullpen for the postseason, and then they would come back into the starting rotation the following year. I think that's what you may see with the Chad Patrick, but man, he was outstanding in the postseason. He gave up two runs. One of them happened to be a home run that probably landed in your front yard, Chewy, to Ohtani. And then the other was the Freddie Freeman moonscraper in game number two. But Chad was awesome. And Miz, as you mentioned, we didn't know what we were going to get out of Jacob Mizorowski, right? I think there were a lot of people that were skeptical putting him on the roster to begin with in the division series. And what did he do? Picked up two wins in that division series against the Cubs. Absolutely dealt in the NLCS until they gave up a couple of runs late. But he was unbelievable. You know, I heard this analogy the other day of Miz being like a stock market where he was so, so hot and everybody was buying on him early. And then he got hurt and was on the injured list and his stock was going down, 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 down. And then skyrocket back up. I think that what you saw the first part and the second part of Miz is what you're going to get from him moving forward too.
When you throw as hard as he does, you know, there's always the conversation, okay, is he a thrower or is he a pitcher? And for times, I think he was a thrower because, well, I mean, when you could do 103, it makes a ton of sense. Did we see him grow into a pitcher the way he was using his off-speed and his breaking pitches in the off-season, in the postseason to set up the triple-digit fastball?
You're absolutely right, Gabe. I think that in the postseason, he really became a pitcher. He was not just a thrower. He was a thrower when he first started. You know, going up against Skeens, going up against Kershaw, and all those awesome moments that he had. He was just, all right, here we go, let her rip. And then you saw some moments from him spinning curveballs, dotting his slider on the outside corner to left-handed batters, going slider on the inside corner to left-handed batters. He was pitching in the postseason, locating his fastball where he wanted to locate it for the most part. Those are huge stepping stones for him, huge growing moments for Miz moving forward.
Jeff, were they intimidated at all? And what I mean by that is when we played Dallas back in the day, they would beat up on us every year. Until 95, we got into the NFC Championship game against them, and we were with them. We were with them into the fourth quarter. Ultimately, we lost, but then we went back the next year and were like, you know what? We're not intimidated by these guys anymore. Is there a little bit of that went on this year?
I don't think that they were intimidated. I just think that they may have run out of gas, right? I mean, and plus, you look at what the pitchers did for the Dodgers, and they dealt. I mean, there's no way to get around that. Snell was unbelievable. Yamamoto gave up a solo homer to lead off the game in game two, and then nothing else. Game three got shut down by Tyler Glass. Now the shadows were awful. Everybody was talking about the shadows. You had opportunities in that game. That was the game that they had to go out and win, and they couldn't do it. And then it was Shohei's game, the best single game performance almost in the history of baseball. So you tip your cap in that moment. I don't think that they were intimidated. I really don't. I just think that they ran out of gas. What the Cubs series did to them offensively, they just didn't have any answers for what the Dodgers were doing on the mound. And that's unfortunate because they were so good. And the Dodgers were having Brewers at bats the entire series. That's what they did all season. You saw what the Blue Jays did against the Mariners. That's what the Brewers did. And they just couldn't do it against LA. I don't know if it was intimidation because they won six in a row against the Dodgers. Sure. Granted, it's a different team in the regular season, but this postseason Dodgers team it's a different animal.
So will this be finally, I mean, the Brewers have been in the postseason 7 out of the last 8 years. Is this the offseason where they're finally going to be respected by other people outside of Milwaukee? Because again, they win the division 2 years in a row. Win total going into this year, I think it was 82.5, which Joshy cashed on. Good on him, taking the over there on the Brewers. Is this the year that people finally wake up to what's happening in Milwaukee, or are we just going to continue to be slept on?
Well, hopefully Josh buys you a cup of coffee for his wins. That's all I'm saying. Maybe a cup of coffee. Maybe a sausage, egg, and cheese, too. I think that nobody is going to sleep on the Brewers, right? I think that they're still going to be predicted to be second or third in the division, looking what the Cubs and the Reds did and what they might potentially do in the offseason. They'll probably be picked to finish third next year, right? But that's par for the course for this organization. And then what are they going to do? They're going to use that as motivation. They're going to play better than people expect them to play. Maybe the Pecota rankings will have them at 85 wins next year instead of 80. So you'll see what happens. And then you go out there and you lay it out on the line and you go play a baseball game. And I think everybody knows and respects what the Brewers have done over the last 8 years. That they're never going to be counted out. While the computers and the bots might not like them, they pass the eyeball test. They always do.
Jeff, go ahead, Chu.
Jeff, one more question. There's a lot of talk about the labor agreement that's coming up next year. Would a salary cap be good for the Brewers or bad for the Brewers?
It's going to be on a case-to-case basis if that ends up happening. I mean, if you have a salary cap, I think this is my idea, not my idea. I've heard it before, but that you got to make teams spend more than anything. You got to make teams spend. So instead of having a cap, you have a floor and say, all right, Pittsburgh, start spending some money. Marlins, start spending some money. You got to spend at least X amount of dollars. Give your fans something to actually hope for, right? And I get, sure, you can put a cap on, you can put luxury taxes, you could do all these things. The teams are still going to spend. The Mets are still going to spend. The Dodgers are still going to spend. No tax, no penalty is too big for those teams when they're getting $2 million a day just in parking revenue. So listen, I think you need to make teams spend more than anything else.
All right, since we're there, I have a theory and I want to run it by you, and maybe it ends up being wrong. But I think of in 2019 when the Brewers signed Yasmani Grandal because he was sitting out there and they gave him, I think it was like $19, $20 million for the one-year deal. Hey, just come here for a year and then you can go sign that one big deal. With the potential labor, whatever's going to happen looming, is this free? Could this be a possible free agent market where a lot of those guys are out there and the Brewers can pounce and maybe sign a one-year deal to try to add to the team in 2026 because nobody wants to spend money beyond 27 if we don't know if we're going to have baseball or not?
Sure. I mean, absolutely. Mark Attanasio has always said if there is a reason to go out there and spend money, if there's a player who's going to make us better or multiple players are going to make us better, I'm not opposed to spending money. A lot of the conversation was that the Brewers' payroll was down this year. It wasn't down. It was pretty level. Yeah, they lost some payroll and some players that they lost, but their spending was pretty similar to what it has been in the past. And it's a very competitive team. If you feel like you need to add I trust in Mark Attanasio. I trust in Matt Arnold to make the right decisions to spend money where it makes sense.
Jeff, we appreciate you jumping on late season with us every single Tuesday. Certainly appreciate the time and look forward to talking to you. You know, maybe once or twice now once we hit the off season.
You got it, man. Anytime you need it, guys, I'm available for you.
Sounds good. Thanks, Jeff.
Jeff Levering, he has joined us every Tuesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy to break down the Milwaukee Brewers. And do want to shout out our friends at Neurospine Center of Wisconsin, who brought us all of that Brewers coverage late in the season and throughout the postseason as well. Cheez-It, it's a legendary snack cracker. It's now available as a frozen pizza. Each crust, a giant original Cheez-It flavored cracker that's square-shaped, of course. It has to be. It has to be a square pizza because that's what Cheez-Its are. But it's ultra-thin, super crispy, the perfect amount of Cheez-It flavor. And then on top of that, flavors that you know you can rely upon because it's made by Palermo's and it perfectly complements that Cheez-It taste, Italian four cheese, cheddar jack supreme, and pepperoni. It's got one of the shortest bake times as well, so you go from freezing to cheesing in as few as 8 minutes. Find Cheez-It frozen pizza in your favorite grocer's frozen pizza section.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What was a rebound? Rebound? What did you just say?
Robust.
Robust. Robust.
You could say robust. Rebound. Doesn't robust sound like a nice rebound. Word of saying just a click below fat?
No, buddy, you're not fat. Well, you're rebound.
Well, Charles Barkley.
There's another
round mound of rebound.
On 94.5 ESPN. It's Chewy's favorite segment of the week.
Hey, big guy, you catch the game?
It's power rankings time on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Did you catch the game last night?
Can I say yes to you?
What will the big guy have in store for us today?
See the game last night?
Which game?
Any of them.
All right, big guy.
Woo, we ready? It's a good list. Fair list. Very fair.
Okay.
There's a couple on the outside maybe that would have a case, but I thought this was a pretty good list based upon last night's game, Gabe. You guys ready?
Yeah.
All right, 10.
I went with the New England Patriots at 10.
I still think they're a little outside.
They're 5-2.
Yeah, I just think their schedule has been very easy and will continue to be. Let's go with the team.
They beat the Bills.
What about the Steelers?
How about the San Francisco 49ers?
Oh, I had them higher up on the list.
Beat the Falcons.
Okay, yeah, I had the Niners a little higher.
Joshy, Patriots are 12. Gabe, Steelers are 13. Those are, and those were some of the teams I was talking that would have an argument about moving in. So, but they didn't. 9.
9, I will say I'll go Denver here.
What about the Seahawks?
Joshy nailed it. The Seahawks beat the Texans. What happened to the Texans?
Struggling on offense.
Yeah, they're not good.
They want to just sit on the ball. They traded away their offensive line to which was already bad.
Yep.
So they made it worse.
Yeah.
And it seems like CJ Stroud is probably not exactly what we hadn't thought of after the first season.
Okay. And then how good are the Seahawks? I think they're pretty good.
I think they're pretty good.
Sam Darnold got off to a slow start. He has been slinging the last, month.
Yeah.
8.
I'll go back to Denver.
Are they going to get cute here and put, the Chiefs here?
No, they didn't get cute and put the Packers here.
Huh.
Drop 2 spots.
What?
Probably because they didn't look real good against the Cardinals, would be my guess. Yeah, they dropped 2 from 6 to 8. Why? Where were you going to put them?
Just outside the top 5. Yeah, I was going to keep them at 6.
6 seems like the right move.
Number one seed in the NFC.
And I know we're doing power rankings here, but winning and having, the number one seed seems to be...
Seems pretty good combo.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem to be, hey, we're going to drop you territory.
Seems to me a little homerish. Give me 7.
Chiefs.
I'll go Rams here.
Chefs. Gabe, you're getting worked.
I was going to go Chiefs one higher.
I'm just saying. You might want to do a little more studying.
Chiefs should be in the
top five.
While
you water your grass.
Should be in the top three.
Yeah, Chiefs should be in the top five.
No, no, no. They're 4-3. They beat the Raiders, for crying out loud. Raiders should be in Canada.
Chewy, they ran 30 offensive plays and gained less than 100 yards. They scored 31 and gave up for the fourth quarter, and they still couldn't do anything.
But it's the Raiders. And they were at 9 last week.
Did so your team,
the chefs boat raced the team that's going to be number one here 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
All right, let's go to 6.
This is where the Rams got to live.
Well, I'm going to agree with Gabe.
No.
What?
Well, I'm not going to agree with either one of you because it's A.O. Buffalo, who I think are in a little bit of soup.
They had a bye? What did they drop?
Their defense is, yeah.
Defense is exactly the same as it was a year ago.
The AFC stinks, and so does the East.
Yeah. Like, the Bills defense is, the rankings are basically the exact same as they were a year ago.
What are they going to be, a four-loss team?
Yeah.
I don't need any more lip, okay? And you ask at the beginning of the show why I come at Joshy. This is why.
Yeah, well, you got to be nice to Joshy because he's an international superstar.
Yes.
He is. 1,300,000 something, I saw.
Yeah, we're getting close to 1.4.
Yeah, maybe you can catch me. Give me 5.
Rams.
Yeah, I'm just going to guess I'm going to keep saying the Rams until they appear here.
The Rams are 5. Who's better, the Rams or Seattle?
I think the Rams are.
How are they doing it?
Matthew Stafford is really good.
Extremely good defense.
Yeah, and the defense.
Their D is good?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very good. Wow. They had those two picks they took early last year who were great rookies. I believe rookie of the year for one of them. And then they've just continued to get better and better.
4.
I'll go the Eagles here.
The Bucks.
Josh, he's got it. The Yuccaneers are 4. Did you watch last night's game? Kind of worked out the way I thought it would.
Yes.
Although they lost Evans for a while. He broke his collarbone.
They think he's going to be done for the rest of the regular season.
Yeah.
With a collarbone?
That's just what they said.
Yeah.
Wow. That's another knock on your era. Not tough. let's go with number 3.
Eagles.
Eagles.
Good call. What do you think of the Eagles? Got back on track against...
I don't know. Like, every Eagles game is basically the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Every Eagles game is basically the same.
Yeah.
Saquon Barkley has been pedestrian.
Their offensive line has not been very good.
Yes. And then his isolated stuff like we did with the Josh Jacobs, also not impressive.
Hmm.
And that's been a big difference for them. But if they need to win, they chuck it to Smith and Brown, and next thing you know, there goes points and giant plays.
Well, so I don't know if you watched the end of the game. But it was like 3rd and 2, and somehow A.J. Brown just basically wasn't covered.
Yeah.
Like, you just lobbed it down the sideline, and there was just nobody there for A.J. Brown who caught it basically like a punt.
I believe Devontae Smith had like 180 yards.
Oh, yeah. No, they both had over 100 yards. Both Smith and Brown had over 100 yards in the game.
The chemistry on that team is weird. It's like no one really likes one another.
It seems 100%. Like... Howie Roseman's approach, which has been successful and got them a Super Bowl, but putting every personality possible in the same locker room might wear thin eventually.
Ugh.
You could see how certain guys would be like, hey, I know we just won, but guess what? I don't like that guy.
Yes, it does.
And I'm
going to
tell
like
you
that.
About it.
Yeah.
And it's not even going to, hey, I don't like that guy. I'm going to keep it to myself.
No.
I don't like that guy, and somebody needs to know.
Uh-huh.
2.
Indiana Jones.
The Colts.
Now, why do you guys go the Colts over the Lions?
Because the Lions, because there's no way they're putting the Colts and Daniel Jones at number one in the power rankings.
And they've wanted, the power rankings are all in on the Lions.
Yeah.
And they have been.
I mean, the Colts just beat the Chargers, who are pretty good, pretty handily.
On the road.
I mean, you're right.
They did go Colts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They did go Colts Detroit.
The Chargers are down to their 3rd and 4th string running back. They're out both their tackles and their guard.
Yeah.
And the one thing we all know Jim Harbaugh wants to do, run the football.
Uh-huh.
Tough to do in those circumstances.
Uh-huh.
Shockingly, in those circumstances, Justin Herbert also not looking as good.
Yeah.
Did you watch the game last night?
The Lions game?
Yeah.
A little bit. I was kind of flipping around between that and game 7 of the ALCS.
They're clearly a tier better than the Buccaneers.
Do they look like last year or no?
I still think they're not quite last year, but yeah. I think they're better than the Buccaneers pretty easily.
I mean, in again, to be a half click below what they were last year is still a really damn good offense.
Good. Yes. So your guy's only problem was the pack.
Surprised that they would drop down to 8, especially if, again, their win over the Lions means nothing. Obviously, if the Lions are 1, the Packers handed them one of those 2 losses, but the Chiefs should also be higher, the other team that beat the Lions.
Yeah.
So the Lions are the best team in the league, but the teams that beat them don't get any respect, is basically my issue.
Denver is at 11. You want to guess where the Bears are at?
Ooh, their first four-game win streak in like almost 10 years.
I'm going 13, 14, 15. They want to love the Bears so much.
I'll go 16. Joshy's going to shotgun and take 3. I'll take the one right behind it.
14. So, all right, good list. Solid. You're welcome.
I don't know why they don't want to love the Chiefs the way that the Chiefs should be loved right now.
Because they're 4-3. Where are you supposed to put them? They're 4-3. Okay?
Yeah, but if it's the power rankings and it's about how you look, that right there has been the best team in the NFL the last 2 weeks.
No, they wet the bed and don't want to change the sheets, okay?
Yeah, they don't need to. They've been the best team in the league the last 2 weeks.
All right.
Use your eyes, man. Open your eyes. You got
to
see it.
To disagree.
Somebody obviously didn't watch Chiefs-Lions.
Someone didn't work at 5:20 this morning.
You turned on a sprinkler. All right. You turned on a sprinkler. All right.
Are you going to look both at us, Mr. 2 week sabbatical, and say you guys aren't working enough?
2 week sabbatical?
No, because I don't like the 2-on-1. And Gabe, for whatever reason, has become more loyal to Josh than he has to me.
Because I'm famous in Japan.
Yeah.
That's true. Okay. I take it back.
I'm hooking my my wagon to the rising star.
All right, okay.
That's the wise thing to do, is it not?
I can appreciate that. Not that I would do it, but I appreciate it.
Now I'm just imagining Josh getting endorsement checks the way Jerry did.
Put me on some billboards out in Japan.
Get endorsement checks for 8 cents. Yeah. Hey, guys, if you feel like you're running out empty, Mantality Health is here to help. Maybe you're dealing with low testosterone. You're just not quite aware of it. You have low energy and motivation. You're just tired all the time. Weight gain, muscle loss, especially around belly fat. If you're feeling anxious, moody, irritable, all signs of low testosterone, and Mantality can help. Go to mantalityhealth.com/radio. Book an appointment today. Go through their process with Mantality because they're a local healthcare facility specializing in helping men feel and perform at their very best. Board certified physicians to provide a full physical consultation and blood panel analysis all during your first visit. And then if you do work with them, they focus on free testosterone, which a lot of doctors can't overlook. And that's how they start making you start to feel better. That energy comes back, the belly fat burns off, muscle strengthens, and you start to feel like yourself again. Confident, driven, ready to tackle life. And that's, again, just that great feeling. You start to feel like yourself again. So let Mantality help. Don't let low testosterone hold you back. Go to the website, mantalityhealth.com/radio, mantalityhealth.com/radio, to see if they can help you today.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Do you like your pickles warm or cold?
Want my pickle a little warm.
Warm's good.
It's better than cold.
Cold
you
can be
shrinkage.
Good, too.
Yeah, well, no, cold shrinkage can gets be involved. Good. It's not great.
On 94.5 ESPN.
No place like X-Golf inside of American Family Field. It's a great place to go. Again, it's open to the public 7 days a week. Great place to go work on your swing, certainly during the golf off-season, which is closer than I'd like to admit this golf off-season. A little bit cooler weather this week. But it's also a great space if you're hosting any sort of get-together, gathering, or party this holiday season. Go to xgolfamfamfield.com to find out more information about this unique space. 7 state-of-the-art simulators. Unbelievable, unique space overlooking the outfield at American Family Field. Check it out, xgolfamfamfield.com. This is uncharted territory for the University of Wisconsin football team, or at least in my lifetime. Because basically in my lifetime is, you know, I was born in 86, Chew, but Barry takes over the program in the early 90s, and the rest is history. They've had their ups and downs, didn't make the bowl games every year under Barry, but a streak started in the late 90s, early 2000s that came to an end last year. And now they have two wins with not another win in sight. And people are upset. They're seeing coaches get fired every week in college football. One was in conference. James Franklin let go. And that was a team that was a playoff semifinalist a year ago. Billy Napier let go this week of the University of Florida. And instead, if you're a Badger fan, this is what you got. I don't know if this went out to Zach Heilprin, put this out on social media yesterday. But here is the letter that Chris McIntosh sent to Badger fans yesterday. Dear Badger Nation, on Saturday at Camp Randall, I was honored to join my former Rose Bowl champion teammates and coaches on the field as the university community celebrated our collective success. My years as a student athlete at Wisconsin were among the best of my life. I loved my teammates and coaches, our passionate fans, and the joy that Wisconsin football brings our campus and entire community. It is with those experiences, along with my love and deep respect for our university, that I share in the disappointment with the football season to date. It has fallen well short of standards. At Wisconsin, we do not shy away from setting lofty expectations for our teams, our coaches, and for myself. We embrace them and accept the responsibility of meeting those goals. While our coaches, staff, and student athletes continue to demonstrate the work ethic and values that represent UW football, the results simply are not where any of us want them to be. Coach Fickell sees the potential in this team. Coach Fickell sees the potential in what this team can be, as do I, and shares the same disappointment and frustration. Our student athletes continue to stand the fight with character and pride as they battle through this moment of adversity, and they all deserve our support. While we still have a lot of football to play this season, with the support and significant involvement of the Chancellor, athletics is committed to elevating the investment in our football program to position us to compete at the highest levels. As a department, we must provide our coaches the tools necessary to succeed. That means more athletics-funded investments into infrastructure, staffing, and, most importantly, student-athlete recruiting and retention. In this new era of college athletics, the clear reality is that high expectations must be matched with an equal level of support. The results of this elevated support may not be immediate, but we are confident that the impact will be positive and long-term. He has another paragraph after that, but basically kind of Chewy going out and saying, hey, we haven't invested maybe what we should have invested monetarily into this program, and we're going to do that going forward. But I also get the impression after reading that and reading it out loud to you, I'm curious of yours. I read that, and I don't think Fickell's going anywhere.
It was kind of like soliciting funds for alumni, which aren't going to happen. I agree with you. It's kind of a letter keeping Fickell around. It's a letter day late and a dollar short. What the hell do you think was going to happen with NIL and the transfer portal?
Yeah.
I mean, Wisconsin has turned itself into a Rutgers or a Maryland, but the problem is Rutgers and Maryland now are better than Wisconsin.
Like,
my guess is this, Gabe. The university doesn't want to pay his buyout. They would rather keep him around for another year and suck. And I've heard things about the program through some of my connections. The attention to detail isn't there. And the recruiting is stupid. You know, when you go to an air raid offense, why would you go away from homegrown talent?
Well,
and that is big offensive linemen who are now leaving the state and going to Penn State or Michigan instead of running a pro-style offense and doing what you do with solid defense. You're not going to get five-star receivers from Texas, California, and Florida. It ain't happening. Okay? So now they dug themselves such a flipping hole that every player who is decent there is going to go into the portal and leave. And now they're saying that they're going to spend money to try and get the problem is this, Gabe, it's like free agency. It's like Green Bay years ago. You want NIL kids? Now you got to overpay.
Yeah, and that's part of the problem. And now here's the other thing. And this is coming from somebody who is from Wisconsin, played football at Wisconsin. Brad Nortman yesterday talking about what the program has done under Luke Fickell in the state of Wisconsin.
Everything I'm hearing from inside the building is that he has zero, not only has he hasn't done it, there's no engagement with the alumni, the former players, or Wisconsin high school coaches. There's no interest in doing it. Every high school football coach I talk to, there is no relationship with Coach Fickell or any of the coaching staff. There is zero intention to try to keep Wisconsin kids in the program. There's no interest in it. Not only that, when you talk about alumni and raising money and boosters, everything I'm hearing is that Fickell has no interest in bridging that gap, raising money, and leaning into Wisconsin culture.
Well, he got fired, and he shouldn't be.
And finally, I've heard there is two, big red events. So it's happening right here in Milwaukee. Had to get canceled because he wouldn't show up. So there is a major disconnect between what a Wisconsin head coach should be doing of reinforcing the culture and what is currently being done, and the symptom is what is on the field. The illness itself is all of these issues, and it all plays out with trash product on the field.
Chewy, the blueprint was there. Barry left the blueprint. They tried to go away from the blueprint for 2 years with Gary Anderson. Didn't work. Went right back to the blueprint when they brought in Paul Chryst. And obviously it was time for Chryst to go when he was let go. And there was not a single person who disagreed with the hiring of Luke Fickell. But the blueprint was there. Barry said the first thing when I'm building a wall around this state. And yeah, maybe you let some kids, not everybody stays here, right? Like, I think of J.C. Latham, who was a really good player at Catholic Memorial, who ended up at Alabama.
Ben Bredesen.
Went to Michigan. And that happens from time to time.
Sure.
But I think of Barry, I think of Brett, I think of Paul Chryst, and the way they were able to keep athletes in the state of Wisconsin who had pride in the state, in the program, and they kept that tradition rolling, and then that obviously was able to be felt by other kids who came to the state or came to the program from outside of the state. If you have no interests in making connections with coaches in the state, with alumni, where is this money going to come from? Two things can be true. They could have set up Luke Fickell for failure by not having the appropriate funding, right? And now they're going to give, according to this letter from Chris McIntosh to the fan base, they're going to put more funds towards the program. That can be true.
But where?
I can still think, I don't know, but I'll take the letter at face value.
Yeah.
But the larger point here is, if you're giving that money to someone, Luke Fickell hasn't earned the right to have that, because he refuses to make connections with people in the state and the alumni. Like, how do you not reach out to your alumni? How do you not have that connection?
Arrogance.
The first thing that Shaka Smart did when he took over the Marquette program, how much did you see Dwayne Wade around the University of Marquette program but while he was a player? Never. Sure. He is around this team once or twice a year. Because Shaka Smart realizes, hey, this A, can be a recruiting tool for me because we've got a great history at the University of Marquette, and B, it's just great to be able to lean into that and lean into your more famous alumni. And he's just refused to do it at the University of Wisconsin.
And you can really see it with the way online all of the former players are commenting about his current tenure. There is no support.
If you want to hit up J.J. Watt for some money, I'm just using JJ because he obviously made a ton of money at in his career at Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. You need to have a relationship to ask him for that money. If that's what you're looking to do, if you're looking for some more money for NIL or whatever to help, build whatever facility or, beef up the locker room, weight room, whatever you're looking to do. This guy hasn't earned it. This guy has not earned it. And the fact that Chris McIntosh has yet to realize that is ultimately going to be the downfall of Chris McIntosh as well.
Well, yeah, here's the thing about Chris McIntosh. I don't blame him for hiring him.
No.
Because any coach, any good program that needed a coach at that time would have hired Luke Fickell. What I will blame, and I love Chris. Chris is a great guy. But what I will blame him for is if he holds on to him too long. Then I will blame him. But you have to put, I don't know if he's getting noise from the administration. And I don't know if they're saying, look, we're not paying two coaches. We're not paying a buyout and then have to go get another coach, which is a distinct possibility. So I don't know
if
his hands
are tied. Then you're an unserious program.
I totally agree with you, Gabe.
And then you cannot expect your fan base to support or take you seriously.
I totally agree. You haven't even been to the college playoffs.
Nope.
And the college playoffs have been around for 10, 12 years now.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't even been there. So stop acting like you're so good, because you're not.
And to your point, Adam Rittenberg had a pretty good thread yesterday on Twitter, covers college football for ESPN.com. Basically just saying, hey, yes, they need to invest. Again, he doesn't know where the money's necessarily coming from, but they need to invest because Wisconsin had operated differently than many top-tier programs, and the fact that Wisconsin was as successful as long as they were without putting in some similar money as some of the top-tier programs was amazing, but now mm-hmm. the times have changed, and you do need to invest.
Yeah.
So that makes sense to me.
Totally.
But let somebody else take that investment if you actually want to be taken seriously, if you actually want to take this program back to where it once was. We have to get out of here. That was, again, a deeper conversation that I'm sure we're going to have again at some point, because I don't see this getting any better at the University of Wisconsin. But I do want to tell you about my friend Gina Della and her team at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. This month, you can score a whole house of new energy-efficient Pella windows for as low as $297 a month with 0% interest for up to 60 months. That's like a drive you can sustain for years, keeping your home comfortable. Thanks to incredible defense played by Pella Windows, stopping the drafts. Don't wait. Schedule your free consultation today. PellaWI.com.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Big hurt.
I heard that's like, eh.
Ron in the Keywagon saying, you guys should slow down before you take on a sponsor.
Here I am.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Well, we put it up on the Infinity Exteriors poll today at Jen Gabe Chewy on Twitter. You can still vote as well. Are BlackBerries underrated? Any guesses on how that ended up, big guy?
50-50.
70-30.
They are?
Yes, they are underrated.
Yeah, they are.
So everybody agree? Not everybody, but a good, really good chunk of people end up agreeing with you.
What about jalapenos?
No, jalapenos aren't underrated, man. I can't. Yeah, they are. We can't. Like, you had something going with the blackberries. You decided to heat check the jalapeno. You heat check the jalapeno and you bricked it. You know, that's just, that's the way it goes sometimes. Sometimes that heat check, you know, burns the net. Sometimes you just miss it.
Got a little greedy. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'll do better tomorrow.
It happens.
Okay.
Wildy and Tausch coming up next.